Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. This half hour is presented by Emerald Coast Coins, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Steve, Emerald Coast Coins.
Morning.
Always good seeing you.
Yep, I wasn't here last week. I had my daughter run the show last week, the week before last. Let me get that straight, you know, because I'm trying to kind of step back from the store a little bit. I keep trying to retire, but it ain't going to happen just yet. You know, I'm trying to slow down a little bit and not be there as much, but, you know, we're still a little shorthanded right now. So until we get some people in and trained, I'll be there more than I care to be right now.
You know, there's something about working your whole life. It's hard to just step away.
Well, you're right. I'm going crazy just because I can't drive anywhere right now. I mean, I go stir crazy on the weekend sitting home. I just can't watch TV all day long. Mm. So, you know, a little yard work. My neighbors, I help all the neighbors out with their yard work because I'm bored. Things like that.
That's my dad. My dad always is wanting to do something. He's 68. And he is always wanting to still do something. Yeah. And he's not retired.
I'm not that far behind him, so.
So, and anyways, you were telling me, because I was mentioning to you how I've been at work since 5, and you're saying, well, I was at work at 4 because we were packing up things to go to Houston, right?
Well, it's in Conroe, Texas. The Houston Money Show is in Conroe this weekend. It's Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And it's a very, very large show. It's actually the next, usually the fun show, which was stands for Florida United Numismatists, which is in Orlando, got canceled this year, and it was 2 weeks ago. And then there was a small show in Foley last weekend, and then this is the next big show. And there's been so many different places canceling because of the COVID crisis and everything, but Houston has put a lot of safety protocols in place, tight restrictions of what you can and can't do in the building, and if you don't follow the rules, you're not allowed in, you're not allowed to participate. But people are going to be hungry to get out and do something, so I'm sure we'll be real steady over there. We went there last year for the first time, and it's a very, very good show. It's a big show, and you can find just about anything you want over there.
So these shows, I know you and I had spoken about them in the past, but you tend to participate in them quite a bit, especially pre-COVID.
Yep, most definitely. You know, all the local shows we do, you know, it's and it's fun, you know. I mean, it's a lot of people look forward to them and come out there. You know, it's funny, it's you know, we used to do them out at the Haji Temple, and we try to charge $2 to have people come in, and they won't pay it. But boy, you have a gun show out there, they'll pay $10 to walk right in and spend a lot of money for guns and ammo. So I can't figure that part out yet. I mean, we're selling, you know, gold and silver and little things like that. So, yeah, we quit charging for our shows. It's free entry for all the shows around here.
Just peruse around and something cool.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing what you can find at these shows. Like I said, I was at the store today. Like I said, I was having a parking lot redone today, so I'm just kind of hanging around out there right now. But most all of my material is over in Houston right now. But silver, you know, I can't keep it on the shelf. Silver Eagles, which is a U.S. coin, comes out every year. It's like it's a silver dollar, basically, a modern silver dollar. And, you know, the 2021s came out. I got my first box, which is 500, 10 days ago, I guess. And I've gone through almost 2 boxes in the past 10 days. That's 1,000 coins that
I've
just, yeah. Silver's just flying off the shelf. Gold's not doing too bad either. I can't keep it in stock. It's up today, or it was earlier. I haven't looked at it since I left the store, but gold was up 1880 something. I could be wrong. Let me look that up just to make sure, because I don't want to put something out there that ain't quite right. Gold, come on, let's see. It's 1863, 64, right in that neighborhood. Silver's 2575, 2580, right in that neighborhood. So it's doing good. You know, silver, I think, is still lagging compared to gold. It's undervalued. And one of the reasons, you know, I've talked about this before, you know, back in the 1850s, I want to say, is when they established a standard of gold and silver. And it was a 16-to-1 ratio, i.e. 16 ounces of silver equals 1 ounce of gold. Well, we're like, 60-to-1 right now, 56-to-1 right now, 56 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, something to that effect. So it's way out of kilter. You know, so is gold undervalued or gold overpriced or vice versa? It's hard to say. The powers to be managed to keep it where it's at right now. You know, silver's using so much of industrial components, TVs and things like that, too. A lot of electronics, so it should be higher. That's just my personal opinion. Take it for what it's worth.
And so these shows, in terms of revenue yearly, like, does this usually bring in a good revenue stream whenever you are able to do these more on a consistent basis?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you're talking about the shows, right?
The shows.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
when
most
you're
definitely
able to participate in the shows.
Let's see, what was the last one we just did? We didn't go to the one in Foley because normally last time we were set up for Houston shows the same time as Foley. So we missed the Foley show, and then they changed it off by a week, so we still, you know, we missed it. But, yeah, it does very well. I mean, when we went to Houston last year, God, I couldn't tell you how much we'd done it, but we were nonstop. And the census is right now there's a lot of dealers are looking for material that's not available. So, you know, as soon as we get to show, the dealers swamp your table trying to buy stuff for their tables, you know. And, you know, I gave my kids strict instructions. Look, don't sell to dealers till the day you leave. Because if you sell it to them, they're going to put it on our table and sell it to you for more than what than what they paid for it. So, you know, hang on to the stuff. Unless it's somebody we know really, really well and needs something for a particular customer. Because I could get wiped out real quick, you know, just selling to dealers. Then what do I got to sell to the public when they come in? Because the setup at the place is today, you know, it's like late in the afternoon. Then opens to the public tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And, you know, Houston's got a much more group of people to draw from, shall we say, than we do over here in Pensacola. Because, you know, they're like 4 million population over there.
One of the largest cities in America.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, and that's why, you know, and that's why they do it on a Friday and a Saturday, you know. And I mean, they have a good flow through of people coming through all the time. And they moved it from downtown Houston. It used to be in downtown Houston, and where you had to park for the dealers and go to the show and everything. It wasn't probably the safest venue to go to in that aspect, you know. But where they have it at now is a really good place, and it's in Conroe. It's right off I-45 by the airport that's up there. And Houston has like 2 or 3 airports. This is North Houston Airport off 45, and that's right across the street from the venue. So there, you know, if we were lazy, we could take a direct flight there, but it's too hard to take all that merchandise with us on an airplane.
So you all are doing that show. In the meantime, though, you're telling me during the before we went live that if you wanted to go to Emerald Coast Coins today, you are closed.
Yeah, I'm having my parking lot repaved right now. It was in desperate need. It was slowly falling apart here and there and everywhere, and I want to make it one big piece of asphalt instead of 300 little pieces. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know, I don't know if I'll be there tomorrow or not. You know, I will be there in the morning because I guess I'm going and do paperwork and things of that nature. I got all kinds of little things going on tomorrow. But, you know, if someone wants to call a store and get with me, I'll go back to the store from here. And if they want to set up an appointment coming to see me tomorrow, I can be available for appointments. But like I said, the majority of my material is in Houston right now.
So, yeah, it wouldn't be too much to buy from anyways.
No, you know, I got, you know, a little bit of silver in the store, you know, some 10-ounce bars, you know, and I got 3 or 4 rolls of Silver Eagles left. I'm going to bring back another box. Hopefully next week I'll have another monster box of Silver Eagles. And, you know, I got what I call, you know, some people call it constitutional. It's 90% silver, dimes, quarters, and halves. I got some of that in the store too. So, you know, we still have some stuff available. It's just, like I said, the collectible stuff mostly is what I took to Houston, that and most of the gold.
You know, I want to go back to the trade shows because growing up, my dad always used to take us to those, whether it be for trains. I grew up a big train guy. Trains are a very popular trade show.
Yes.
Take your pick. There's a bunch of other stuff. Also come from a golf family. So when I grew up in Tampa, the Tampa Convention Center always had a huge golfing convention or car shows, you name it, big facility over there. But there's always really cool things there. There are always a bunch of really cool things there. But for you, being that you've done a ton of them, is there usually a certain show that stood out to you that said, man, I did really well there, or I came away with this very cool thing for the store?
Probably so. You know, most of it's usually when I go down to Orlando for the fun show, and I don't set up down there usually because it's such a huge venue, And some of the stuff you see there, I mean, you're going to see something in Orlando when they do that show down there. And if you ever have the opportunity and you're really into the coins and currency and stuff, you need to go down there because they have some unique stuff down there. I mean, one of the things I saw down there was a 1943 copper penny, which is extremely rare. And they had a 1944 steel penny, which is just as rare. Well, they had them both side by side in the same display case. The 1913 V nickel is rare. They had that in the same display case with an 1804 silver dollar, which is rare. And, of course, the 1804 dollar and the V nickel had, you know, armed security right next to the display because, you know, that was, you know, like $5 million for two coins or something like that. So, yeah, it's but the paper money, there was, I want to say they were $5,000 bills. There was three of them in consecutive numbers, and they were brand spanking new. And they wanted like $1.3 million for those three bills.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You see some nice stuff down there. It's you know, when I was down there last year, I was trying to get some $1,000 bills for some clients. And there's this one guy, he's always one table ahead of me, and he bought everything that was there. Every $500 and every $1,000 bill he saw, he snapped it up. And, I mean, I'm talking about multiples of stuff. And I, from what I understood, he's from Europe, and it's very popular over in Europe. And he was buying for clients back there, and he picked up all the stuff, and he bought everything under the sun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sure whoever he was buying from, the seller was pretty happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cause he didn't squabble about the price or anything. He just took it, you know. So, you know, me, I'd say, look, you got to leave me a little room to make some money. I can't buy it for what it sells for and make money that way. And, you know, dealers work with each other like that, and that's what's fun about it, you know. And, you know, that's one of the things, what is it, you know, every now and then, and I haven't seen in a while, but, you know, you have these, I call them traveling road shows that come blowing through and stuff like that. You got to be careful, you know. I always recommend you deal with your local people first or shop around and compare. Don't, just because they have this full-page ad in the paper that says, you know, I do this, I do that and everything, you know, check first. Don't just take the first offer you get. You know, and I'll give you an example. This is quite a few years ago. I had a lady came in to see me, and, you know, there's this company come in and they set up in one of the hotels to buy all your coins and jewelry and gold and stuff like that. And this lady took a whole bunch of silver quarters to them. And, you know, after she wasn't sure, so she came and saw me next. So I counted up the quarters, and it was a lot of quarters. I said, well, how much did they offer you? She goes, no. She says, you tell me what you'll give me, and then I'll let you know how well you did.
Okay.
And so I made my good offer move to her, and it was almost $5,000. She says, that's a lot more than what they offered me, almost twice as much. And I said, so you going to sell? She says, well, I hear silver's going to go up. I'll come back when it goes up. Well, she come back 6 months later, and silver had dropped.
Ooh.
And she got about 60% of what I offered her 6 months earlier, but she still took it because it was still more than what the guys that came in town were offering for her. So, you know, those people, you know, they run those ads in the newspaper, and then they set up the hotel, and they have to pay for their lodging and the paper and all that other stuff. They got to make their money back some way.
Yeah, you know, every day I always hear an update about how gold and silver are doing, and it's amazing how, I mean, it's like any stock market, right?
Yes.
You know, one day the demand's high,
mm-hmm.
the other day demand's low. Supply could be low also, so that could cause for higher demand. It's just the supply chain and the supply and demand, I should say, and the economics that go into it really are fascinating.
And so, you know, like I said, the silver eagles that I'm getting in, I'm selling them for about $32 a pop right now, but the premium is high, and the premium's cost over the initial distribution price, you know, because let's face it, you can't buy an ounce of silver for what it's trading for, you know, because nobody would ever make any money that way. Because, you know, if I bought it for what it's trading for, well, I can't sell it to you for what it's trading for, because then I'm just, all I'm doing is giving you something for what I paid for it, and it doesn't work that way. There's a distribution cost, a production cost, all these little things are factored in. That's just like the silver eagles that come out, everybody wants to buy them for silver. Well, the mint charges to their distributors, I can't remember exactly how much over, but it's almost, I'd say $1.90 over whatever silver's at. And, you know, and then the distributors distribute them out. So, you know, everybody's got to get their little piece of the pie, or else nobody makes any money. So, you I told a customer this morning, you know, in 2005 when I was selling these things in a store, I'd take them and dump them in a bucket and I'd sell them for $6 a piece, you know. That was a dollar over my cost. Today I'm selling them for $32 a piece, and that's about a dollar and a quarter over my cost. So, you know, my profit has only gone up 25% in 18 years, which isn't very much. You know, when you figure 25-cent increase in 18 years, that's not a lot. But I do volume, too, you know, and that's the biggest thing. I said I've gone through almost 1,000 ounces in 10 days, which is fine by me. I don't mind doing that at all. Yeah. It keeps me busy.
Keeps you busy, you know. So there's clearly a demand silver at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you said gold's doing pretty well.
Gold, yeah, gold is doing, like, you know, I don't have any small pieces of gold. All I have is 1 ounce gold buffaloes right now, which is a very, very nice coin. But they sell for the same price as a 1 ounce gold eagle, too. But that's one of the things, there's always premiums on this stuff. And the smaller the denomination, i.e., you know, they make 10th, quarter, and half ounce gold eagles, the smaller the size of the coin, the higher the premium. And that, again, is distribution and price and what it costs for me to get it. Plus, you know, it's a, they call it barter ability. If you had to barter with a 10th ounce gold coin, it's a lot easier to do a 10th ounce gold than a 1 ounce gold. And that's one of the things I tell people, don't put all your eggs in one basket. A lot of people like to buy silver bars, you know, 100 ounce bars, kilo bars. What are you going to do with it? Well, in case I have to barter with it, I says, you know how hard it is to take a 100 ounce bar and get a loaf of bread. I said, you know, diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, again, the silver, they come out in 1 ounce rounds, you know, 1 ounce bars, 5 ounce, 10 ounce, you know, kilo. You can even get up to a 1,000 ounce bar, but those aren't a good investment either.
Pardon my ignorance. I'm just not really sure. I guess pay attention enough, but how often does Pensacola do gold and silver trade shows?
We do them twice a year here. The Pensacola show got canceled last year because COVID, and it was in August. It was late September, first weekend in August, in the Santa Rosa Community Center right there at Avalon and Highway 90. That's mm-hmm. where they usually do gun shows and stuff.
Right.
We were set up for that, and the facility canceled us. There's one that goes on in Fort Walton Beach, and I think it's this weekend, maybe next weekend. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, so I'm not sure about that. It comes on this time of year sometime. But you go to the Fort Walton Beach Coin Club, and it should be posted on their site. And then there was one in Foley last weekend. So, you know, there's three local shows every year religiously here. And, you know, I promote it here on the radio. I promote it in my store. Usually gets in some of the periodicals that are put out about, you know, coins and currency. So the word gets out, and most of the people that are looking for coins know, they call me up a lot. When's the next show in town, you know? So we try to keep on top of that.
You know, I always find something fascinating or just something I would want to buy whenever I go to shows like these, because, you know, you think gold and silver, but often there's a lot of other collectibles that you have there that maybe I wouldn't picture being in your store, but you'd probably have it.
Probably so, you know, and I couldn't take specifically what right now, you know. Then, you know, I mean, we do currency too, you know, which is kind of neat because the old currency had a lot of really neat artwork in it. When I say early, you know, the early stuff, they call them horse blankets, they're really big, and those are some of the nicer notes to get, you know. And then, you know, I got a couple $500 bills in there right now. Like I said, I'm trying to get a $1,000 bill right now. It's little things like that. So, you know, you don't usually associate currency with the coin collecting side per se, but it fits right in with it. But you know, you were talking about trains earlier. You know, they do that big train display out at the Haji Temple every year, or they used to. I don't know if they still do or not. Huge thing.
I feel like it's been a while.
It has been,
since I've heard about that event.
But, you know, and that's all it is a model train. So I had a cousin up in Elgin, Illinois. This man, he had a basement, you know, it was probably as big as this room next door there where he's doing his, you know, broadcasting from. Shells, six or eight shells from the floor to the ceiling, you know, that it was big enough for you to walk through, and that's about it.
Man.
Every kind of model train in the world you could think of in there.
I have a family friend in St. Petersburg, big time train enthusiast. They have a track that runs along the walls of their home.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing, and I could never convince my parents to do it, probably because it's also a very expensive investment.
Yes.
And probably takes away the value of your home, depending on who wants to buy it next. But no, along all the walls of actually a pretty good size home, They had a train track along with stations and decorations, you know, not just a track. It's really cool.
There used to be a restaurant right there across from PCC, and it's not Ryan's. I can't remember what it was called.
It was called, wasn't it the Whistling Squirrel?
Maybe that was it, but they had one of the trains in the overhead there, suspended from the ceiling.
I've always thought those were so cool.
Yeah, it was neat. You know, my cousin, he rode every major train line in the United States. That's how much he was into trains.
He drove?
No, he rode on every train that he could.
If I could restart the argument for why we need an Amtrak station here.
I'd love to see one here.
Well, I grew growing up in Tampa, my dad absolutely, I think it was my dad who originally had gotten me into trains, and if we could, if it made sense, we would take the Amtrak to go to Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
Or we used to go to, it's along the St. John's River. It begins with an A. I don't know why I'm blanking on the, I was about to say Ocala, but it's not Ocala. No, that begins with an O.
I'm not that familiar with that part of the state.
It's along the St. John's River, Central Florida area, but if
it
made sense.
It's not Apalachicola, is it?
Not Apalachicola, not along the Panhandle.
Okay.
It's in Central Florida, not too far away from Gainesville, really.
It was Appalachia or something like that, maybe?
Appalachia?
I don't know.
I think you and I both we're like circling it, but we're not quite there.
Probably so. Or,
actually, I remember a time we went to Miami. My dad was on a business trip, and we took Amtrak down to Miami just because, why not?
Yeah. I've spent my first 2 years in the Navy, I spent in Scotland, and that's major transportation. There's trains. You know, you take a ferry across the Clyde, and, you know, we're on the Firth of Clyde. We take a ferry across over to the other side, take a train to Glasgow, and we got on a train, went from Glasgow to Edinburgh to Loch Ness. That was about a 7-hour train trip, you know, and that was very interesting, very pretty to drive through the country, you know, and most of the time, you know, the seats were packed, and we stood halfway to Loch Ness. We stood up the whole time waiting until a seat became available, because the further north you got, the train thinned out a little bit. But, you know, it was fun. I hadn't ridden trains until I was over there.
You know, I would want to do a trip like that in Scotland, I hope it would take me to all the distilleries.
Yeah, there's a few of those there, too.
Because I am a big, I'm not going to say I'm a huge Scotch person, as in, like, I go home and that's the first thing I certainly have a bottle or two at home.
Yes, most definitely. Yeah, it's like, I got a friend of mine, she owns a liquor store, her and her husband are a liquor store over here, right there at Olive and
Bamboos?
Yep.
Great place.
Yeah, that's Courtney and her husband Steve, they've had that. He's had it forever, and you know they have some upper end stuff that you don't find everywhere else.
With my brother, who is a sommelier, focusing mainly on wine, but he works at a local restaurant here in town. We actually have him on air as Matt the Wine Guy occasionally, but whenever he needs to buy a bottle of whiskey for a friend and he knows it's going to be a difficult bottle, that's where he goes.
Yeah,
and that's where I go too.
Yep. Yeah, I was just over there. Courtney came by the store yesterday to visit. My dog is the mother of her pup that we gave her when she got married, and poor old Sugar, and you know all the girls that were in here before, they knew Sugar really well. She had some eye issues and wound up losing both her eyes last week.
Really?
So yeah, she had cataracts, and the surgery wasn't, one eye had a bleeder in it, which they couldn't stop, and the other one, she ripped the stitches out, you know, during the night while we were sleeping. Even though she had a cone on, she finagled it, you know, to where it took the stitches out, so she had to have both her eyes taken out. She's, you know, she's doing so much better now because, you know, she has no pressure or pain from anything.
Good.
And she's still wearing a little, it's like a helmet almost to protect her right now. But, you know, once the following week, I think next week, they take her stitches out and she'll be back to normal. She likes it so much better when she doesn't have the cone or anything on her head. And you know, she's full of spunk and energy, and she just doesn't walk quite as well as she used to, but she wanders around.
I've met a Sugar a few times.
Yeah, she's
13
years old.
Okay.
She's 13 years old, and she's as healthy as a horse except for that. And so, yeah, she's doing good. And it was kind of tough, but, you know, it was a decision, and it was the right decision to have it done. Like I said, you know, since she's had her eyes removed, she feels so much better. She's, you know, more energetic, I guess, shall we say, because, you know, we were putting eye drops in her eyes 4 times a day, you know, and other kinds of meds, and that was just to keep the infection and the pain down. You know, now she's doing good because she has no pain.
It's gone. Well, that's good. That's good news there. Well, we do have a few seconds left here in the program. Real quick, where are you located? How can we call you?
1811 Creighton Road, right there at Lanier and Creighton. I call it a new stoplight. It's been there a few years now, but that stoplight at Lanier and Creighton, 850-473-1515, or our website, EmeraldCoastCoins.com.
And soon to have a brand new parking lot.
Yes, by the end of the day.
By the end of the day, as a matter of fact. All right, well, Steve, as always, it's good having you on. We appreciate the time. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.